Coming up on TMS, Three's Carpentry.
Do dogs have fish sandwiches? Because I'd really like to honk. Ah!
I'm sending you a present, so shut the F up.
The pot calling the kettle misspelled.
Moist joists.
The house of trembling madness.
Newly indoctrinated vapor.
52 miles or 7 hours.
Stroker Ace was my solo career porn name.
Smarmy Chicken Lord.
We asked for more guacmar, but they wouldn't give us any more guacmar.
How many mms does it take to get to the sausage?
We have a fiduciary responsibility to make you lose.
Ball gags and a box full of weapons.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
There's good reason for my glistening skin. I eat little baby's ice cream.
Uh-huh. Herbal derbally burble herbal.
You can't spell the morning stream without remonstrating. This is the morning stream.
Good morning, Wednesday watchers of the morning stream. It is TMS. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett for Wednesday, July 14th, 2021. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and welcome to the end of the first half of July.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's true. Look at that, the 14th. Weird. My birthday's this week.
I guess actually tomorrow will probably be the end.
Isn't that weird? Do you ever forget your own birthday and it just sort of creeps up on you and you're like, oh, yeah it's my birthday.
Yeah, actually, because yours is just a couple weeks before mine, and I did exactly that.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a message today about a birthday thing. I'm like, Oh, yeah, okay. Huh, what do you know about that?
Oh, right, I have a birthday coming up, yeah.
It does mean that I need to get your present, which I will hold behind.
Ooh, I now I see right a size. What can I glean from this information?
What can you glean from this? Shake it?
Yeah, shake it. What do you got? Oh, listen to that.
Nothing?
No idea. No idea. I'm excited. Yeah, yes. A couple of VHS tapes, says the chat. That sounds
couple
right.
Of VHS tapes. That's exactly right. Maybe HD DVD is what I'm sending you. What? All right, let me give you your choice because I haven't wrapped it yet.
Yeah.
Your choice.
Ooh.
Simpsons, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or Bob's Burgers wrapping paper.
Oh. Bob's Burgers.
All right, Bob's Burgers it is.
Weird thing to have a choice on. That's cool.
I know. Well, you know, I have the wrapping paper all laid out. I was like, oh, it was going to wrap before the show started here, and I didn't have time. So.
No, it's fantastic.
Because I've really got to get this thing out. As it stands, I've got to do priority, because I want you to open it up on the show on Monday.
Oh, all right. Sweet. Well, I hope that doesn't cost you hardly anything. That would suck. I don't want it to be expensive.
No.
All right. Well, I have plenty of time.
I don't care.
I have plenty
You're
of time
my friend,
to get Brian.
And I'm going to spend money on sending you a present, shut the F up.
Shut up, Mom. I'm buying what I want. I was going to say, congratulations to Tad Pooler and a current chat room attendee, DJ Stangle. He is now one of our mods on Discord. Welcome to the unruly mob and your new responsibility to occasionally maybe kill a thread if you have to. So thanks for that. We appreciate it.
Good luck, and nice. I hope you survive the experience.
That's right.
As the old X-Men comics used to say.
Yeah, it's nice to have a real DJ around, you know?
it is nice to have a real DJ. Finally, a real DJ.
Yeah. DJ Stangle, known for his hot riffs and his deep bass cuts. I don't know what I'm saying.
I hear his Discord moderation includes 2 turntables and a banhammer.
Whoa, that's great. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're here. We got a show. We're going to do it. It's Wednesday. Thank you for being here, everybody. We really appreciate it. Got an email I want to start with. I was actually going to do it yesterday, but time in a bottle. Oh, hey, by the way, sorry. Today's... Feud, right? Are we doing feud today?
Today's feud, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So I just got to make sure I'm ready.
Get in there and get ready.
Kind of spaced it. All right. So we get this email because we had talked on the show about lumber prices as if we were some sort of experts on the issues of lumber. And none of us are, but we may pretend to be, or at least we're like, oh, that price is a lumber. Can you believe it? Sort of talk. But We got an actual,
what does that have to do with the price of lumber in Vermont?
Exactly. So we got an actual response from somebody who would know. And this comes to us from Brody, who ends his email by saying, Loktar Ogar is definitely a horde man.
Nice. Love it.
The subject was lumber prices. I am a lumber deliverer, delivery driver. I think he meant delivery, right? He put delivery driver.
He did, yeah.
Okay. And as I was unloading some lumber for a job site, I was listening to yesterday's podcast, and you were talking about the lumber prices and why they are so high. It's a mix between a few things. You were right with it being so expensive because of high demand, because of all the construction happening, but also because of all the fires last year, plus COVID forcing the lumber plants to go half staff, and the favorites, or let's see, and the favorites where the special glue is made for engineering wood products, EWP, like I-joists and plywood. I don't know what I-joints is, maybe what
this
meant.
Whole sentence is like what the Home Depot guy says to me as I'm looking around thinking, no, I just need a 2x4.
Yeah. Well, and the typos don't help. But anyway, I think he means I-joints.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The pot calling the kettle misspelled.
Yeah, this
it.
Is, I'm the wrong guy to even do this. Anyway, I think he meant I-joints. And plywood were forced to shut down a few months ago because of the Texas freezing over thing. I had completely forgotten about that. Messed up.
Like, I did too. Oh, right.
Yeah,
yes.
All sorts of stuff like chip manufacturing. And now I guess lumber had something to do with it. Like Texas getting hit with those, with that freeze in the winter was bad all around. It says before 2020 happened, the EWP was in high demand already, but now it's even worse. And again, the EWP is like the special glue you need to hook all this wood together. Or to make, so, just yeah. make
no
wood
engineered
products.
Wood products is EWP, but
right. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I never. They got their own little fancy name for the wood products.
They do. EWP.
EWP.
They call it EWP for short.
EWP.
Hey, could you hand me another bundle of EWP, please?
If it was glue, and then you ignored the four, but if it was glue for your engineered wood products, it'd be EWP, wouldn't it? EWP.
By the way, eye joists are the joists that are shaped like an eye, like an iron girder, but they're made of plywood.
So that's a real term, joists.
Joists, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, shows what
we
I
had
know.
To punch holes in the joists. I'll see if I can condense this long story, but we put new mirrors in our master bathroom this weekend.
Oh, right. You were talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, and Tina's dad was came over to help because there was some electrical involved that was a little more than a little out of my pay grade. Like I can add a light switch and I can change things out and I can daisy chain off another one. Right. But the outlet in our bathroom had too many things coming off of it. We couldn't daisy chain the new mirrors on it because they're fog free. They have a heating element in them, so they don't fog up, and they have a built-in LED Ooh. Around the outside.
Oh, right. You were talking about the kind of vanity
they're really
style.
Good. They're yeah. MGM Grand Vegas mirrors is
that's,
what they are.
That's cool. Yes. Yeah, that's great.
So we had to run a line up from the basement, and in doing so, we had to get up into the drop ceiling or open up the drop ceiling and hammer a hole through the joist. So the joists have like a... what is that? That it's like a press board, except it's really coarse press board.
Oh,
it looks like they barely did anything to like
particle board.
Put the
right
kind of particle boardish, yeah. But you even see like the chunks of board in there that they chopped up. MDF?
Oh, that's plywood.
Or
no,
it is plywood. It's like a press board plywood. It's like, but you see all the pieces of. Oriented strand board, OSB. There we go.
Oh, well, the old OSB.
The old OSB, yes.
Yeah,
but anyway, so it's got perforated, perforated holes in there so that you can just take a hammer and go pep and pop out a perfect little circle, little disc that you can run your wires through or your...
okay.
Yeah, your lines through. And so all right. Those were the joists.
So we now know... I learned something today. I didn't know... I thought joist was a
you thought she was just the florist on Three's Company, didn't you?
Yeah, I always thought Joyce was spelled Joyce
DeWitt.
Yeah. Joyce DeWitt. Was she a florist? I don't remember that.
She was, yeah. Oh. Janet Wood was a florist, huh?
Oh,
I just got that joke.
Yeah, well, nice job. So wait, who was the other one? What'd she do for a living? Chrissy
Snow, wasn't she like a Wasn't she like an exercise?
She was a...
No, I guess that was just Suzanne Summers and her stupid thigh master.
She was a nurse, says the chat.
What did Chrissy Snow do? Well, no, the later one was a nurse.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Her sister was a nurse, right?
No. The woman that came in that wasn't her sister. So her sister was Jenny Lee Harrison.
Yeah.
And she was just around for one season while Chrissy Snow negotiated her contract.
Unsuccessfully, turns out. Yeah.
Unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. Oh, Captain Kipper has found a link. Maybe we can figure out what Chrissy Snow's occupation was.
Yeah, because I don't remember if she did anything. Like,
so Joyce DeWitt works at the Arcade Flower Shop, or Janet Wood. Chrissy Snow, a ditzy secretary from Fresno. Yes.
All right, and then Jack was a or Jack, yeah, Jack Tripper.
Jack was a chef.
Chef, yeah. So yep. He had a cook.
Terry Alden, Priscilla Barnes was the nurse. Okay. And Jenny Lee Harrison was Cindy Snow, accident-prone cousin, a secretary, and later a veterinary student at UCLA.
Does it say what Larry's job was? What did Larry do?
Larry was just a slime ball, wasn't he? He was a used car salesman.
Oh, my gosh, dude. What a stupid stereotype. Freaking Larry.
Larry. Let's go down to the Regal Beagle.
He was a guy that was always trying to get like a homemade porn movie made or something. Like
Jack, I've got twins in my apartment. Come down to help me out.
Yeah, there you go. Hurry up before the Furleys find us. Oh, no, Furley was the one guy.
The Ropers, yeah, either one. Uh-huh.
I mean, look, it was a long time ago, you guys. This is an old show.
Yeah, exactly.
That show's now way old.
Ask your uncle and your aunt and uncle. Maybe not your grandparents.
Yeah, maybe not them. Oh, maybe. I don't know. We figured out before the show that Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit is 30-plus years old.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that. Oh, my Lord. All right. Yeah. So anyway, it goes on to say. Yeah, we're back to the lumber here. Yeah, where were we here? Before 2020 happened, it was in high demand already. The yard I work for went from being overstocked to us being very restricted on how much we could send out and each contractor having a limit to what they could buy each month. We've been forced to stop selling certain products to walk-in cash customers. We are starting to sell our stock, get our stock back up, but the stuff we are receiving from the lumber mills is stuff we ordered 3 to 5 months ago. Thanks for the great podcast. Wow. I listen daily. A lot of show created for the both of you daily.
Cool.
I may have read that wrong. Anyway, thanks, Brody. That's a good information because I don't understand these things. So
yeah,
we leave it to you sometimes to fill us in on what's what. So thank you.
Totally true. And I understand more about that stuff now than I did. So now when the Home Depot guy is talking to me, I won't have to sit there and say, I wonder where the plumbing is.
Yeah. No kidding, right?
Yeah.
There is some shaking loose of some GPU style chip manufacturing, I guess. So I wonder if that's a sign that the chip shortage is going to tighten up.
Because
did we talk
people
about
might,
here?
Might be able to finally get PS5s.
Yeah, maybe some PS5s and Xboxes will get in people's hands finally. The other thing I noticed was, so I guess we talked about it on the show, maybe we didn't, but how all the car lots are empty. Or they're down to like 3 trucks when normally it's just stacked. And it was that is also due to the chip shortage. And apparently there are just miles and miles of car lots just full of these trucks and cars waiting for chips. And so I feel like a sign of that lightening up will be when we start to see dealerships full of cars again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
right.
Actually having stock there, that'll probably be the thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I-Corps talks about the rental car shortage too. Yeah, that's probably sort of related because that's where rental cars would sometimes go, is to the used car lots or the car lots, because they were still relatively new.
Right.
Just had a lot of miles and a lot of drivers that didn't care because it was a rental car.
Yeah, my guess is they probably buy new fleets when they're going through new ones. They have fleet deals with the dealer or with the car manufacturers. Like if I'm Hertz, I probably buy 100 new Camrys, and then the old Camrys, which don't have a ton of miles and are all in pretty good shape, you sell those used at bulk or whatever to used car lots. And then those sell really quickly because nobody can get new ones. And they go for more money. It's all effed up is what I'm saying.
It really is. It really is. Oh, yeah. You know, all right. Anybody in this may be a question I put out there and we get an answer to talk about tomorrow.
Right.
But Orange County, I guess this doesn't solve all my problems, but is Orange County one of those places now where you can rent a a little scooter, like a Lime or a Lyft scooter, and putter around, or because they have those all over downtown Denver. They've got them all over Vegas. Oh, no, they don't have them in Vegas yet, do they? But there are some places where they've got them. You just rent them and you putter around the, you know.
Yeah.
You swipe your card or you enter, you use your QR code on your phone and that sort of thing. I'm wondering if they have little Lime scooters over there in Orange County, because that would make my life a little bit easier for a couple things.
I assume so, wouldn't they? Seems like Orange County should, or at least parts of it.
I'm not going to take one all the way from the airport. That problem is not solved.
No.
But no. I certainly don't want to rent a car for more per day than it's going to cost me to go to Disneyland. That just seems absolutely ridiculous.
I heard from a Orange County ER doctor listener who says that their COVID rates are way up in Orange County. So just be careful around all the dummies.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm vaccinated. That helps.
That should help. Yeah.
Obviously.
You're a lot better shape than if you're not.
Doesn't zero out the problem, but...
Right. Just watch out for anybody who's has kind of a Delta look to them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Or Lambda.
I'll watch out for people who are eating at the Country Bear Jamboree, because it'll be clear that they have no sense of taste.
There you go. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I get it. That's a good joke. It's a good joke about taste, about personal taste.
Like that. See? Works in two ways.
I liked it. Liked it a lot. All right, we're gonna play a game. And it's gonna involve listeners. Oh, I'm so not ready for this. Hold on. Okay, so we'll do we'll get Dunaway in first. Okay, so he's getting rung.
Yeah.
We're ringing him up. Oh, my gosh.
I'm excited about this one.
Oh, really? I'm nervous now just to hear you say that.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah. Great. The number is coming in. We'll have somebody answering shortly. And as soon as I push this button, we're off to the races. Yeah, that's right. We're playing a little Battle Royale, Tadpooley Feud Edition today, and we have Brian Dunaway here to join with us in doing that. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. Hi.
Hello. I've been enjoying listening to you guys talk about shortages in wood, and what was the other thing you was talking about?
Chips, wood.
Chips, Three's Company.
Three's
Company. Yeah, yeah, it's been a real scattershot day.
It really has.
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fitting right in.
You're a regular listener, aren't you?
Yeah. Fitting right in.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. We missed you Monday because we didn't have a show, but...
Because we never do tangents on Film Sack.
No, never. Never. We always stay right on
What time. Are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to play this game. We can't do it without the help of a listener, though, so we're going to find out who's been waiting very patiently. Hi, who's this?
This is Guacmar from the chat.
Guacmar.
Guacmar.
Whenever your name comes up, I think Guacmore, which makes me want more guac. That's the bottom line.
We asked for more guac, but they wouldn't give us any more guac.
That's indeed true. All right, Brian Ibbett, you're going to have to explain this game so that Guacmar knows what he could win.
All right, I'll do that. It's time to play the Tadpooley Feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics. Scott and Brandon are going to have to predict the answers that they gave us, and it's their job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Guacmar, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian, and if your team wins, you get a prize package that includes a couple of Steam games, Override Mech City Brawl, and Randall's Monday.
I don't know what
happened on Randall's Monday, but it was enough to make an entire game out of it.
It's too bad about Randall and his Monday.
Okay. It's a shame about Randall and his Monday, yes.
Really, truly.
Those are the games you could win if you and either Scott or Brian win Tadpooley Feud, but they need a category. They need a thing to buzz in on.
Yep.
So put your hands on your buzzers. I will say this. Like, you know how I always talk about how many people put pass for their answers if they don't like the question?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
This one had the fewest number of passes I've ever seen. Like,
really?
Three or four. Yes.
Oh, well, that's great. It means a very active, interesting topic.
It's a very active, interesting topic or interesting topic. All right. Put your hands on your buzzers.
All right.
We asked.
Oh. In my pockets and on the buzzer. Go ahead.
427 Tadpoolers and their answer to this.
Okay.
What's your favorite TMS audio clip?
Oh.
Scott Johnson.
I can totally see why you like it.
Yeah, show me, no doubt.
I can definitely see why you like it. Number four on the list. Three answers will beat it.
Shit.
Brian.
Say this question again.
Sure. What's your favorite TMS audio clip? We asked the TMS listeners.
Oh my God.
I know.
I listen for 15 minutes up to a start.
I know.
Most of
I know.
Time you're talking about news.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, there is a slight advantage for Scott on this one.
Yeah, there really is.
Yeah, this is going to be very one-sided.
Maybe we should just give you Guacamar right now to even things out a little bit.
My God, yeah, probably so.
You know what? I'm the host of this damn show.
I am totally blanking on anything.
I'm the host of this damn show. I say Guacamar is on your team right now.
Guacamar, please save me, and maybe they'll start coming to my head. But right this second, I've got nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Brian's right.
Yeah, I forget what I answered to this when I did the thing. But
nice.
Wait, which one was it?
The ship's phasers.
Test the ship's phasers.
Yeah, all right,
that's a good. Show me.
Yeah. Let's test the ship's phasers. You actually could play these for me.
I could actually. Now that you say it. Ah, crap! It's not handy. Okay, here I found it.
Okay,
here you go.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
There you go. Number
one answer on the board.
Nice.
All right.
Hold on. All right. So that means the two of you have possession of the board. And
this is for earlier. Here,
I can definitely see why you like it.
There you go. I'm gonna play every one of these.
So does Scott have possession of the board?
No,
Brian, me and Guacamar do because he. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh snap! You about to go down, Johnson? Because I got Guacamar, our number one fan, and then you got me.
All right.
Yeah, I've got like six of them in my head.
Why couldn't you said catchphrases on film sack?
I know, right?
Cripes.
Because there's not that many.
Sure. Sure.
Not really.
Oh, there's not that many? There's a hole in the roof? There's like a million things we do.
That's true.
Ooh, wait.
The chick in the bucket.
yeah, chick in the bucket. There's so many things.
Gross.
There's a hole in the roof.
I still have that.
All right. What's, give me an answer.
Well, there was one that Scott used to always yell, like back in the day before I was on the show. That he used to always do then they can just eat rice.
Oh, the rice one?
Yeah.
Is that current? Is that what all the hip TMS kids say?
It's stuck in my head.
All right.
Stuck in your head?
That's your answer?
That's it.
Okay, show me. Then you can eat rice.
Oh, man. Number six.
Then you can eat rice.
There it is.
Number six.
That's fantastic. All right, you guys are still on.
Still have the control.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You want to do tender crisp chicken bitty ranch?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. You want in two different ways. He wants to play it.
He just wants a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Yeah.
Show me tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Oh,
number 13 really? Surprised me too. Yes.
Wow. Well, here, just
the tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
May as well play it. Okay. Well, then that means it swings back to me. Then
it does. Yes.
Okay. I don't like bees.
Ooh, right. I've actually heard that one. Yes, that's pretty good.
All right.
Show me. I don't like bees. Number eight.
I don't like bees.
There you go. Thank you, Ann Arbor. What's his name? Forgot his name. Also, Kevin.
Keith.
I think
Kevin from Ann Arbor. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It was Keith from Maine.
Oh yeah, Keith. Oh my gosh, Keith from Maine.
Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I wouldn't call this a. Jeez. Oh, how about the. I don't know if that works. The horn honk and the guy screaming.
Yeah. Okay.
You know the one. This one.
Show me beep.
Beep. Is it on there?
On there. Number three. Honk. Here's what's funny is, I had to go through the 400 submitted.
Consolidate them.
Yeah. Everybody did this, you know, wrote this a different way. So it was like the horn scream guy or beep scream or honk or whatever.
Yeah.
So like I had to, a lot of these I had to find a common phrase for and make it and put them in there.
All right. How about
I've actually heard all of these, but I haven't heard them enough to recall them.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
Oh, fish sandwich. But is it too early to get a fish sandwich, guy?
Yeah, fish sandwich.
Show me. Is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Hey, too early to get a fish sandwich?
Number two.
Number two on the list. Yes.
All right.
It's popular.
All right. I'm on a roll,
we're getting in the weeds here. We got 4 left, 5, 7, 9, and 10.
Shoot. How about the different flavors you can get?
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
All right. There are different flavors you can get.
Ah, dang it.
He was, let's see here. I'm gonna give you both of his, because they both had like one or two votes each. Yeah. But dump the rice into the thing. There are different flavors you can get.
Well, here are those just for fun.
Dump the rice into the thing.
And then the different flavors you can get. Oh, I thought I had that one handy. Maybe I don't. All right. Well, never mind.
All right. That's my favorite one is the dump the rice into the get. Thing.
There you go. All right.
Now, one of the ones I remember.
Dunaway, yeah.
One of the ones I remember back in the day, and I always meant to look up what the crap it was from, but we like scooters. It's something with scooters. I'm trying to remember how it went. It was like
scooters.
We like scooters. What? How'd it go?
We got scooters.
We got scooters. That's it. The scooter one. What do you think about that? My teammate, not you guys.
Yeah.
Guacmar.
Yeah, Guacmar.
Oh, sorry. I was going to go with the sausage personally, but.
Oh, yeah.
That's even better. I bet the sausage is on. Let's go with the sausage, and then we'll try some scooters.
Okay.
All right. Show me. Well, that's if sausage. What if sausage isn't on there? Then you've just given screwed. Scott something.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I had no choice.
Yeah.
It was a better answer.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. All right. Show me.
Sausage.
It's on there.
That one.
So I will say, everybody used a different number of M's in their answer.
Nice. Yeah, of course. So here's the short one. This is the original.
Sausage.
All right. And then Veronica did the... Well, no. Then we did this to her.
Sausage.
Yeah. Longer than ever.
Longer than ever. I don't get it.
Yeah. Pretty weird. Okay. Well done, you guys. All right. What was your... What was the other one you were going to... You just going to follow up?
Scooters. You want to do scooters? All right.
What do you think? You think scooters is good?
What do you think?
Are we still going to hold yet another better one?
Yeah. What do you think, Guacmar?
I at this point, I don't know.
Okay, we're going with the scooters, baby.
All right, show me
all to win.
Yeah.
Anything regarding scooters? Number five, we got scooters.
That was week one, by the way. The first week.
That was. That was like early on. Yeah. The A side is we've got scooters. You flip that 45 over, and it's did you get a DWI?
That ain't gonna offend nobody. I think I have that one handy. Hold on.
That won't offend nobody.
Yeah, there's that one. I think I also.
We got
those little kids.
We got
kids. Hold on.
Environmentally conscious.
Little kids doing it.
We did have one person specifically said kids saying we got scooters.
Was environmentally conscious?
Oh.
You say lose your license because it's a DWI?
Scooter.
And you both together, you say we got scooters. You say that together.
No.
This is the long version. I don't know why I don't have the cut one anymore. It's so dumb.
Interesting.
I don't know what I did.
You're going to have to make a new one.
Yeah.
All right. So, Brian, you guys still have
All right, Guacmar, we're digging deep. What else we have here?
There are two answers left, 9 and 10. Still anybody's game.
What was it? What'd you say?
How about a booby?
Oh, how about a booby?
How about a booby? That's good.
How about a booby? All right.
That's a good one.
Show me how, since we're on the Veronica kick, show me how about a booby?
Oh.
Yeah. How about a booby?
Yeah.
Let's see. A lot of people did like that one. That was number 49.
Oh, you had two of those. So here's her.
How about a booby?
And then this one.
How about a booby?
Scott Fletcher. Yeah. All right. Now it's back to me.
It's back to you, Scott.
Yep. Okay.
The two answers left.
Oh my gosh, why is this so hard?
I know. Because it really is like. You're trying to think like the tadpole.
And, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
All right, I got one. Do dogs have brains, lady?
Oh, yeah. Oh, all right.
Okay. I don't know that one. Okay.
Show me, do dogs have brains? Because I really, like, wanted to know.
Damn it.
Do dogs have brains? Because I, like, seriously wanted to know.
I don't even know that one.
I would not seriously want to know.
Not even on the list. Oh, nobody. Nice. Nobody put the dogs have brains girl, which surprises me because I love that clip.
Oh, I think I just thought of one.
All right.
Because of a word.
Not if Guacamar thinks of it first.
Yeah, he might.
Exactly.
I love how you're throwing
it. I'm not going to think of it.
I like that you're throwing it all on Guacamar at this point. That's you're right. Just like, not if Guacamar.
I put in what I had, man.
Yeah, you did well. All right, Guacamar.
How about Hey Burnham?
Oh, Hey Burnham's good.
Hey Burnham, there you go.
All right. Show me Hi Burnham.
Oh, no way.
That was a good guess, though.
Just outside. Let's see. That one is number 25. So actually a little further than just outside the top 10, but it was up there.
Okay.
We can still win this if Scott doesn't get it.
Exactly. If Scott misses this one, Guacamar, you still win the prize.
All right. How about if I get it, what happens? Does he lose?
You win. You win, and Guacamar gets nothing.
Yeah. I hate doing
that. Guacamar gets nothing.
I hate doing that, but I'm also, you know, we have a fiduciary.
You can't just get it.
We have a fiduciary commitment to play fair. So I'll say the lady who found my, or that was, I can't think of a name now. Oh, the clip-clop lady at the, up at the thing. The nerdtacular lady.
All right, show me in the clip-clop.
Oh, no, man.
No, it's number 10?
Number 10.
Oh, my gosh. Here's her, by the way.
In the clip, in the snowboard clip-clop?
You sure she didn't say flip-flop?
She said clip-flop.
Still makes me laugh. Sadly, that means that Guacamar has lost. You still have one more guess, Scott. One more answer on the board.
Yeah, I do have a guess. We did fish sandwich. How about I have the chaff lady. It's more recent, may not be in there, but I like I have the chaff.
All right, show me I have the chaff.
Oh my God.
Number 9, cleaned the board.
No way. Hold on, here, I'll play it. It's a little different than Brian's interpretation. Here you go.
I have the chaff.
There you go. I was sure that was a throwaway, and in fact, thought of it earlier and thought better of it, and I'm like, it's not going to be on there. It's too new, but because people like it. Okay, all right.
Enough people like it that it made it up there. Well, sorry, Guacamar. I thought putting you with Brian would actually help balance the scales, and it did probably help balance the scales, just not enough.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think you can blame Brian Emmett here because he's the one that intervened on the rules.
Can.
Yeah.
You put him on the losing team. Way to go.
Oh, that's true, right? Because if
it's all good,
he forgives you already. Well, that's awesome. Having you play is fun anyway, and we like having you on. So I have this feeling that we'll see Guacamar again. Yeah, well done, and thanks for playing with us, man. Hey, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott Johnson.
We can't do it without you, so thanks for participating in today's.
I mean, technically, you can. You've done it before, but don't.
Yeah, but we
don't do it without me.
Yeah, we like it with you, and then we'll deal with it if you're not. But we prefer it with you. You know, we'll deal if we have to. But that means that
I feel your wants, not your needs.
That's right. So scheduling was all effed up this week for the Boop Show. That's why you're not seeing it on your feeds, everybody. Don't stress because we needed a bit of a time to kind of get caught up. So don't worry. Next Monday, the Boop Show.
Just a little boop break. Just a little boop.
Yeah, a little boop break. The show got booped. This weekend we will be doing Film Sack, and we'll be watching. I forgot what we're watching.
Can I say how much I'm not looking forward to Film Sack?
Fast and the Furious. Why are you not looking forward to the first Fast and the Furious? Not into it?
I just don't want to watch Fast and the Furious again. I've seen it enough times. I used to really like it, and over the years I just don't feel like it's...
This
is going to be tough.
Yeah, I feel you.
Okay. I've never seen it, so I'm looking forward to
You've never seen the first Fast and Furious?
No,
that's fantastic.
No.
And I'm jealous of you because, man, I wish I was going in for the first time.
Yeah,
it's finally gonna make sense to me why these people are driving these cars fastly and furiously.
Yeah, they're so furious about it and fast about it. Now you'll finally know. I mean, the truth of the answer, or the answer to which is the best of these 9 movies, it's 3, which I don't think you've seen either. But 3.
Tokyo Drift I've seen.
Oh, you have. Tokyo Drift is awesome. Tokyo Drift.
It is really good.
We should do that one because, I don't know, end on a high note or whatever. But
we watched that one right after we got back from Tokyo in 2015 because it was like, oh, it's Japanese. We kind of like that stuff. Let's go watch it.
Yeah, it was great. And then that character, even though he dies in that, sorry, everyone, spoilers, he dies in that movie, but they bring him back.
Right.
Because that series is nuts. Anyway, that's what we're doing this weekend. Dunaway will struggle against it, but he'll concede and watch it.
I'll watch it, and once I watch it, I'll be like, I had a real good time. You know how this goes.
Yeah. I'll do it
but
in that
voice. But the feelings leading up to it are...
I feel you, man. I do. I understand completely where you're coming from. But that'll be this weekend. Filmsack.com for details. Get subbed up if you're not. Brian Dunaway, have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye now. What did I say? Did I say something wrong? Did I say?
I don't know. I didn't catch it. If you did, I was pulling up the list because do you want to hear the sound clips people like just outside of the top 10?
Please.
Barry is number 11. Oh, I'm going to put my headphones down and go throw up is number 12.
Another good one.
I mentioned Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch. Chester Cheetah, number 14. Well. They're all going to laugh at you. Number 15. Troublemaker, number 16. Cat and Chicken Porn, Daryl's 1930. Was the highest Daryl one on
Trouble
the list. Smokeweed.
Yeah.
Troublemaker. Smokeweed every day. Straw Tart Blueberry Pop Torch.
Uh-huh.
What kind of a deal? Creamy Peen. What? Hey, Birdum. I like Turtles. Shit Gratifter. Utah Connection. And a Caveman. Guitar Hero Lady. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You guys sound kind of sparkly. I'll stop there.
All right. Well, I remember. So the what was. Was it this one?
What?
It was that one. Yeah. Okay. What? That's Daryl doing that.
What?
Because there's somebody, the story there was, if you watch MASH and you listen to this, the laugh track, there's always some guy that goes, what, in there.
Yeah, and we finally isolated it and heard it. Like
yeah.
We,
I don't have that anymore, but it's in here somewhere. Let's see, do I have this?
What?
No, that's not it. Hold on.
What?
What?
No.
What?
What?
No.
What? Do you have the MASH laugh? Like, do you have it under there?
I don't have it under anything. Hold on, let's see, MASH.
Guitar Hero Lady, while Scott's finding that, is a woman saying, isn't there a guitar thing called Something Hero?
Oh, Something Hero. Yeah, that goes like this.
We're not a...
That's not it. Hold on. Here it is.
Isn't there a guitar that's called Something Hero?
She was 100% earnest. She's the little like Paul Schaefer to what's his old man
right,
TV guy.
What's
his name? Pat Robertson.
That's Pat Robertson. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, right. It's an amazing.
The sidekick.
Yeah, the little sidekick on the side.
Pat Robertson's side piece. So, I think is what we refer to her as.
There's probably stories there that none of us want to hear.
Probably one that we never want to hear. Yes.
No. All right. Well done, everybody. Let's do some quick news.
I don't watch the news.
Oh, good, because we do. It's the news, and it's brought to you by.
Brought to you by the TMS Mini Meetup, the Minnie Mouse Meetup. It's going to at Trader Sam's on August 10th at 7 p.m. Be there or don't, but I'd like you to be there.
Be there or don't.
Those are only, your only two choices, be there or don't.
Yeah, yeah. I have jealousy about this meetup. I want to be there. It sounds like fun.
Well, you're only, what, 9 hours away?
12. About 12. It takes me about 12 to get to L.A., yeah, but...
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, I'll just hop
in
the car.
7 in the morning.
Yeah, no problem. I'm a little worried because Vegas hit their all-time record of 117 on the Strip the other day.
Yeah.
And we're going there in August, and it's not even August yet. So,
right. What's are the dates? They're not at the same time I'm going to my thing, right?
I don't know. Let's find out. Oh, I don't know either. I'll have to ask him. I think it's later in the month, but I don't know for sure. So I think you go before I go.
Cool. All right.
I should have planned that different than we could have gone.
It would have been great
time.
If we could have timed it, although it would have been really early in, all right, well, here's what you do.
Yeah.
Plan a Vegas meetup. I'll come to that.
Hey! That sounds all right.
I'll do one of my Vegas 24-hour overnight deals where no hotel room, no sleep. Just Vegas.
Yeah, I'll talk to Kim, see what she says.
Yeah, she's like, no, Scott, this is us getting away.
This is our anniversary. What are you doing? She might say that.
Oh, it's for your anniversary. She'll absolutely say that.
She might. Never, I don't
forget
know.
Forget I even suggested.
She loves everyone, so who knows what she'll do. If I make it seem very, you know, oh, these you know, we haven't seen these people. And she'd be like, oh, you know, you're right. We gotta do it. She might do it. All right, let's get to this story here.
Yes.
We got a story about a giant turd. It was actually a carryover from yesterday, so I'm really glad we got to do it because I like a story about a giant turd.
Yeah.
And this isn't a person or anyone in politics. It's an actual turd. Here's what happened. A giant turd closed the first floor of the House of Trembling Madness. I'll get to it. While establishments in the city have reported temporary closures due to staff testing positive for COVID-19 and other stuff, the House of Trembling Madness had other concerns. The Ale House, it's like a bar type thing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, it's a weird name of a... It's a weird name for anything, let alone a bar. The House of Trembling Madness.
Yeah, what's in your ale, I wonder.
The DTs, clearly.
They have locations in Stonegate and Lendl in the city. Apologized to customers via Twitter on Monday for the brief closure of its first floor at Lendl. I assume this is in the UK. These are names I've never heard of. Oh, yeah, there it is. Saying they had to deal with the largest turd blockage we've ever had. So, not unlike that story of a couple days ago where a smelly poo put that plane down.
Right, yes.
They shut down.
Maybe this is
the ale house.
Did they check the ceiling for a hole? Like maybe the smelly poo came from the airplane, went through the roof, and landed in the House of Trembling Madness.
There's a poo in the roof. all right, check this out. This is my favorite duplicitous story of the week. Cigarette maker Philip Morris is buying a UK producer of respiratory treatments. Yeah, that's what you do. So you create a problem. And then you solve the problem. That's how you do it. You get people hooked on smoking, and then you.
It's almost like the opposite of doth protest too much, right? Yeah. This is doth solve too much.
This is a little bit like what's it like?
Not really solve. It's not really solving the issue, but it's like it is like a.
What's a good comparison? I can't think of anything.
It's like Smirnoff donating money to Al-Anon or...
oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Or GLAAD or something like that. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Oh, Carter's here. That reminds me to ask everybody about the dog thing. Ripley can't stop coughing. I put a video on Twitter today. Here, I'm going to play it so you can hear it. You got to hear this. It's horrendous. And I'm worried about her. Maybe someone knows. I mean, we'll probably end up at the vet if I had to guess. But sorry, this is a bit of an offshoot. But I'm going to play this real fast. So here's the text from Carter. Here's the okay. So listen to Ripley here.
Shouldn't the other two have it?
It gets worse. Yeah, liquidy. That's not a good one.
That's something was going to come up there.
Yeah, which well, you know, I'd be lying if I said it hasn't here and there, but. She's got, I mean, it sounds like kennel cough. It could be a thing stuck in her throat. Some people have suggested like maybe from a toy or some grass or something's like just like jammed up in there. That happens to dogs a lot. Maybe it's something like that. She can't get it out. She's just sort of gagging on it, but she did it all night long. Nobody slept last night. I'm running on like freaking just some caffeine this morning. That's all that's keeping me up.
Yeah. Oh, and, poor thing.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're going to do. Vet, I guess. Probably the vet. Probably the vet, Carter. Probably the vet.
Probably the vet. By the way, I didn't mean, thank you for correcting me, talking about GLAAD. I didn't mean GLAAD. I meant MAD.
Oh, I mean MAD,
Mothers
right.
Against Drunk Drivers, not the Gay and Lesbian Association of...
It's like Smirnoff donating to the gays. Yeah.
Exactly. What is GLAAD? It is Gay and Lesbian Association for Acceptance and... No, what is it?
Well, without the periods, it's a trash bag, right?
Well, also without that extra A.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Let's see.
Stupid extra A. So
where
dumb.
Is the actual? It's funny. If the Wikipedia page doesn't have what it stands for until you. There it is. Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
Maybe that's changed to be more inclusive of the whole
right,
LGBT
of all
stuff.
The LGBTQ plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That may have altered.
Question mark.
So check this out. Bless. Tobacco Group, they call them, Philip Morris, internationally agreed on Friday to buy Vectura, a 1.5 billion pounds, by the way. That's about 1.44 billion US. This would give the U.S. firm access to the British drug maker's respiratory ailment treatments and inhaling device technology. The move is the latest big push by big tobacco companies to change their image following years of negative press and lawsuits for marketing and selling cigarette products that health advocates and experts say continue to be a leading cause of preventable deaths worldwide. Yeah, it's
as
weird.
As a vapor, Scott, how do you feel about this? How do you feel
newly indoctrinated vapor. Boy,
as an e-cig smoker, how do you feel about this?
Well, is it fruity and is it just CBD? Because then you got me. Because then I'm in. For those who missed this story a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, whatever it was, I am not a vapor. I tried a CBD oil vape pen, and that's it. That's it. Okay.
I tried vaping, but I did not inhale.
Oh my gosh. Why did any of us ever believe him? Well, I don't think anyone did. No one did, right? No one believed him when he said that he didn't inhale.
No, blood. No. I did not have sex with that. Well,
I sort of did. I had activities.
Listen, she's a Washington 2, but she's an Oklahoma 9.
Yeah, see? Anyway, they're gonna make stuff that'll help you deal with the problems you caused by smoking, so...
Just
go ahead and take that dual role of Philip Morris and put it where the sun don't shine. All right, let's get to a breaky song. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom Merritt will be here. We got a little tech news at the top of the show. We got recommendals after that, so stay tuned. But for now, let this song wash over you like warm water.
Yeah, I'm
worried
that people are going to think, because you said a breaky, I'm hoping people don't feel like we're going to be playing Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, that would be
neither indie nor...
Or good.
Pleasant.
Yeah.
Or good. Now we're going to go to San Diego for some pop punk. This is a band called Summer Years. They've got an upcoming LP. What is that LP called? It is called, it looks like it's just the Summer Years. I'm sorry, EP, not LP. EP.
EP.
This is the first single from that. This is good stuff. This doesn't fit the typical pop punk, Blink-182, Real Big Fish kind of vibe. I guess they're more ska. But anyway, here are Summer Years and the brand new single, This Light.
Still this light, chase this light.
I know a place that's peaceful and quiet. A place where animals play. It's called the forest, okay?
I eat demons for breakfast.
The Morning Stream. There's nothing wrong with the food.
We have arrived back. Yeah.
Wasn't there? There was a movie quote where a guy says, "I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast," and the guy replies, "You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?"
Yeah, that totally happened.
What is that? What movie is that from?
I think I have a clip.
I bet you do. Somebody, let's see if you can beat the chat room because they're on.
It's been a while. Oh,
TVZ gone. I think beat you to it. Happy Gilmore.
Oh, Happy Gilmore. That's right. Because he's saying right. that to what's his name from that Star Trek episode? Yeah.
Yeah.
That
Stryker
guy.
Ace. What's
That's
his
right.
name?
Stroke. Yeah. Not Stroker.
Stroker. Ace. Stroker Ace. Yeah.
Is it Stroker Ace?
I think it's Stroker
Ace.
It's
been a long
Stroker.
Time.
Oh, Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin
is totally not Stroker Ace. Shooter McGavin.
Stroker Ace was a movie thing with who was that?
Yeah.
Who was in that?
Who's Stroker Ace? Oh my God! Now that's a whole different thing.
That was
Oh, it's a Burt Reynolds.
Oh, Burt Reynolds joint. Right.
Burt Reynolds joint. Yes. Right.
Stroker Ace.
Oh yeah, so gosh. Close. So close. Jeez Louise.
Good stuff.
We need to watch Stroker Ace for Film Sack, clearly.
I agree. I would watch Stroker Ace. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, for sure.
Great. We have, when's the last time we saw a Bruce
a Burt Reynolds movie?
Ages, right? Forever.
It has been ages, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long time, but it's only been a week since this.
Longest Yard?
Probably. Longest Yard, yeah.
The concept and direction must come from the man.
Did we do the original or the... Oh, no, we did the original.
The original, yeah.
Brian is correct. I'll tell you what else is correct. Joining us right now on the line, Mr. Tom Merritt, known for his technology news gathering skills and prowess, and then disseminating that to the masses. He does that on Wednesdays here on the show. Tom, welcome back to the show. Hello.
And yet... I have no idea when that Trader Sam's meetup is. With all my news gathering prowess, I missed you saying the date. I asked in the chat room. The chat room's like, oh, yeah, we didn't catch it either.
Oh, I'll tell you right now. It is August 10th at 7 p.m. at Trader Sam's.
August 10th at 7 p.m. I might
it's only 52 miles or 7 hours from where you live.
That's right. That's right. You know, the space-time continuum of Los Angeles will you know, expand and contract that time. But at 7 p.m.,
You'll take the 405 to the 210 to the 105.
I would probably take the 405 to the 710 over to the 99.
My memory was that you that you and Veronica went there once and said, oh my gosh, it was so long. But I think I'm thinking of her because she had to come all the way from San Francisco and meet you.
We both drove down from San Francisco together.
That's what
we carpooled for BlizzCon 1 year. I think it was BlizzCon.
It was BlizzCon, I couldn't remember. It was 2012.
It was not a fun drive, but Veronica was like bereft. She was like, that was the worst thing ever.
Yeah, she hated it. But it wasn't the company. You guys enjoy each other's company. It was just, you know, it's a
No, it was at least I don't think I was the problem. She certainly wasn't the problem.
Yeah. I mean, all we can go off is that you don't think you were, and she says you weren't, and that's gotta be it's enough.
She says she was. Yeah, exactly.
It's enough. Exactly. All right. Well, I'm jealous. I wish I could go that day. But here's the deal. You're here. We're gonna talk about tech. Whatever is going on, what's brewing today in tech is what we're gonna talk about. So tell us, rip that Band-Aid off. What are we doing?
Microsoft has announced Windows 365. which I assume in leap years will be Windows 366. It is a cloud service for PCs. Now, this is meant for businesses, not individuals. They're not ruling out the possibility they might have a consumer version of this at some point, but it's businesses of 1 to 1,000. So there are business plans and enterprise plans for this. If you're a small business, they do want to market this to you. And the idea is that you would have a fully functioning Windows PC in the cloud that is easy to set up. I know some of the geekier of you out there are like, well, you could just do a virtual desktop. In fact, Azure Virtual Desktop, it makes it easy for you to set this up. But not everybody even wants to go that far to set up and manage a virtual machine. So what Microsoft's doing with Windows 365 is making it dead simple. You subscribe to the service, they give you a machine. That machine works just like a Windows machine, but you can access it in any browser. So a Mac, Android, Linux, whatever machine you've got, if it's got a browser, it runs. The general consensus so far from the demo is looks pretty snappy. They're doing some nifty things. So like when you're streaming video, it will actually encode it locally in the browser using the browser's engine and then send it to the cloud PC so that you get the advantage of your local machine, maybe depending to keep things, you know, streaming along at a nice pace. But overall, it's taking what they're doing with cloud gaming and doing it for work. And it's a little more secure because you don't have to VPN into it. You're basically VPNing by accessing it. Anything you install on that machine stays on that machine. Anything you do on your local machine, you know, theoretically it'll be difficult for it to cross-infect. So it makes it easier for IT administrators to manage and keep up to date with patches and all of that sort of stuff. No price yet. They say they're going to announce the prices of the plans on August 1st, and it'll be launching August 2nd.
Yeah, one assumes it's, you know, the pricing plans will be based, like you said, on, you know, big corporate deals. Like, oh, you've got, you know, I don't know, 90 workstations on this.
The enterprise plans will be big corporate deals. The business plans are meant for even a solo entrepreneur, you know, somebody who's just running a local business like a cafe or accountant or something like that. They are going to market it towards small business.
So there's a pretty good write-up on TechCrunch. I saw this go over my feed earlier today, and I haven't really dug in deep, but my bigger question keeps coming up in my head, which probably is obvious to everybody, but I look at this and go, ooh, so if it's really low latency, this could be a way, and like you said, it's not for consumers yet. Maybe it will be one day, maybe not. But if it's super low latency,
you could say you're a business.
Well, you could say that, but whatever. Yeah. I'm guessing it's cost prohibitive, but maybe not. I don't know.
We'll see what the price is.
But in theory, you could run games.
I mean, you could install Steam on it. From what I can tell, I don't think there's any prohibition on that.
I just wonder how that latency is, you know?
It's the hardware that might trip you up. So it's 1 to 8 virtual CPUs. Gets more expensive the more CPUs you want to have in it. Yeah. 2 to 16 gigabytes of RAM and 64 to 512 gigabytes of storage. So not massive in what you can store locally there.
2 gigabytes of RAM? That's low.
That's really low. Entry level, up to 16.
Okay. That seems low.
But you have to pay more to get 16, so again, cost might...
Right. Well, I'm curious about it. It's fun to watch them continue to leverage their Azure presence in ways that I didn't expect. Like, I don't know that anybody with all this 11 talk, I don't think anybody was thinking, and the cloud. Like, I don't think anybody was thinking about that, but here we are, I guess.
That'll be one of the things we'll talk about on Daily Tech News Show today. It's like, this is the fruition of Satya Nadella's plans, right? Yeah. I know a lot of people out there are like, wait, but if they're giving away Windows, how are they making money again? It's like, well, business, Azure, cloud. Well, this is the way you make money off Windows and the cloud at the same time, right?
It's pretty smart.
You sell Windows as a service in a way that people don't go, I don't want to pay for my operating system. You're not. You're paying for a virtual cloud PC.
Yeah, you also end up, you know, positioning Azure, continuing to position Azure as an attractive third-party pickup for people that need this functionality for their services but don't want to do the infrastructure. So, you know, Sony or whoever has to use Microsoft for their backend, for the cloud, and that seems really smart. Seems like they're making all the right
moves. And it doesn't rule out the DIYers. You want to run Windows locally yourself in your business? Great, go for it. You want to do a third-party cloud PC? Microsoft doesn't mind. They're just saying, if you want it dead simple, if you don't want to maintain it, if you want to have everything coming from the same company because you're also paying us for Office, et cetera, and we're really good at this and Azure's really reliable, well, here's a product for you. We'll see how much it costs.
I like it. We'll talk about that, among other big topics today in the tech space, today on the Daily Tech News Show at 2:30 Mountain Time. I'll be there. It's Wednesday. It's my day. And I love being on. So check it out if you haven't already. Tom, anything else? Oh, I was going through some old books today, trying to decide what books I'm going to donate to a Goodwill and which ones I'm going to keep. And I ran into Lot Beta, and I'm keeping it. But there it is. And I went.
And it's already been given to Goodwill.
And I forgot. Some happy young man now has your... No, I have your book still, and I just saw the cover and went, oh, yeah, right. I did that cover for Tom. That was such a fun collaboration. I understand you've got more in the works, so why don't you tell the fine people where they can find your writing and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. There is audiobook. That's what they call it. Coming very, very soon, like this month. I have the files. They just need to be uploaded and priced and all that good stuff of a book called Project Vera. This is the first time I've published first to audio, rather than any kind of ebook or anything. If you're a backer of my writer's Patreon, you have the PDF of this already. But the audiobook of Project Vera is coming, and folks in my Patreon have gotten first crack at that. There is a bit of a work to do to become a member of my writer's Patreon, which is to remember how to spell Ace Detect. It's patreon.com/AceDetect. Or you can just get free Tom newsletter. I link to that in the free Tom newsletter every week. So that is the new thing coming soon. Check it out.
Very nice. Do that, everybody. In the meantime, check out Daily Tech News Show today. Tom is at Ace Detect on Twitter. Same name, Ace Detect. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now.
See you, Tom.
It's a pretty cool idea, especially for Mac people who need Windows. Mm-hmm. That seems like maybe a cool way to do it. Because these M1s, these M1s aren't running native. Although I guess Parallels is going to do an M1 native.
Oh, really?
What do you call it? What do you call it? Translation layer. Virtual machine, whatever it is.
VM, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to do that. So that's cool for those who want to have it local. But you can't do the old, you know, since it's not Intel anymore, you can't just load a version of Windows and boot to it. So this is a pretty cool way of doing that.
It is.
Just load it up in your browser. I'd do that in a heartbeat. That's great. All right. Let's move on, Brian. We're going to do recommendals sans Nicole because she's not here. She's on a little mini vacation. So we're going to play this. I know. Just taking off when we least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
Right when we need her. Just kidding. Nicole, take your time. Have fun. You're all good.
I just don't remember authorizing. I don't remember approving her request.
You didn't sign off on this?
No, I didn't. I don't know what the deal is, but...
it's right here with that birthday card I was supposed to have you sign.
Happy birthday.
You screwed me again, Costanza. All right. let's get into this. We're going to do recommendals. We're going to start with Brian like we always do. And in this case, Brian's like not to worry that Nicole's not here because Brian's got three recommendals today.
And I'll be honest, my third one seriously feels like something Nicole would would recommendal.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which is great. I think that's a good sign. All right, let's get started with number one.
All right, here we go.
Clip it's a time. Movie.
Oh, a movie. All right, here we go.
Are you aware there's an active group of people out there who believe this is a real thing?
Believe what's a real thing?
That you're hunting human beings for sport.
What?
Yeah, conspiracy websites are all over it. They're going bananas. They're going berserk. Reddit? I mean, I don't know the names of them all. But anyway, somebody pulled a property tax record for the manor that you bought in Vermont.
Manor? No, I don't own a fucking manor in Vermont. It's a three-bedroom house.
Jesus, I can't believe you used that word.
Manor?
No.
Deplorables?
It's charged.
Oh, well, I initially typed fucking rednecks, but then I decided that wasn't specific.
Hey, come on.
What? What would you prefer I call them, Paul? Gun-clutching homophobes?
Hey, stop, please.
Academically challenged racists?
Hey.
What about tooth-deprived bigots?
We have our best team at Reputation Management flooding the search engines in the hopes this thing doesn't go mainstream. But even if by some miracle it doesn't, and I really don't see that happening. Martin did what he had to. Her fund. I'm sorry.
You got to go.
Okay, is that is that what's his name? Zaphod Beeblebrox. What's his name?
Sam Rockwell. Sam is Rockwell? Not Sam. Sam Rockwell. Sadly,
just
no.
Like him to me. Okay.
No, I recognize the guy, but I don't know what I've seen him before. This is a movie called The Hunt.
Okay.
Which came out last year, right during the pandemic, and didn't obviously right before movie theaters closed. This was in theaters for a while.
This
and
was
then
really
said,
controversial at the time. Now I remember the name. People were flipping out right about it, right? There was like a lot
and it's easy to see why it's controversial. Number one, it's produced it's written by Nick Hughes and Damon Lindelof. One of your Lost guys, and I think Nick Cuse might be the son of Damon Lindelof, or I mean of Carlton Cuse,
oh,
who's
yeah,
the
Carlton
other Lost
Cuse
guy.
Totally is. I looked it up on his bio just now. He is the son, yeah son of that, and he's the writing mentor is Damon Lindelof, who is mentored by his father Carlton Cuse. So they got this little triple.
So the
thing
two of them worked on this together, yeah. And it was produced by Jason Blum, which kind of gives you an idea of those three minds and where this thing is going. Mm. Here's the premise. A bunch of rich, I'd say extreme liberals.
All right.
Snatch up some people that they deem as deplorables. They're conservative. The people that they're against, specifically ones who believe in this. This legend of these people who are hunting people for sport, and guess what? Hunt them for sport. Mm. There's kind of a little bit of a weird Hunger Games vibe to this, because the people they snatch up, the kidnappees, are all dropped in on the grounds of this manor with a ball gag in their mouth and a big box full of weapons to kind of make things more fair.
Okay. Oh, they get to have their own weapons to fight back.
To have their own weapons to fight back.
Wow!
And it's weird, because obviously you're not meant to root for the liberals, even though. Well, I mean, I won't even say even though you're not meant to root for the liberals, and you're kind of rooting for the conservatives, and it's just a weird. It is such a weird turning the genre on its head kind of thing. I think it's executed really, really well. And the main star of this thing, you don't even hear in that clip, but it's Betty Gilpin, who is absolutely fantastic. She's great. She was a co-star of Glow with Alison Brie. She was the blonde
she's great.
Alison Brie cheated on her husband with.
Yeah.
She was on Nurse Jackie. She was one of the newer additions to the hospital in the later seasons. And she's just wonderful. She's the wife in The Tomorrow War, if you've seen that.
Oh, okay, cool.
But Ike Barinholtz is in this. Emma Roberts is in this. One of the dudes from This Is Us, the brother, is in this. Mm. And the woman you're hearing in that clip is Hilary Swank, who is kind of the leader of this, cabal.
Oh, I didn't know she was in this. Crazy.
Yeah. Okay. It's really good. It's on HBO Max right now. And that's probably as much of it as I really want to tell you about, because there are some definite surprises in this thing.
Hmm. I'm interested. I was interested when I first heard of it, because I just thought, well, what are we doing here? This seems insane and definitely interesting. So
it's funny, because I think the name Donald Trump is never mentioned in the movie. Obviously it's very timely and politically charged, but he's never specifically named.
Sure.
I don't know. It feels like it's not too soon or too late for this movie. It's probably like, in about 5 years, we probably won't want to have anything to do with watching this movie, because we won't want to be reminded of the last 4 years. But right now it's like still something. It feels like we're far enough away from it that we can watch something like this and almost laugh at it. Anyway,
I get what you're saying. No. So real quick here, the director of this thing, Craig Zobel, yes. I did a little look in here.
What else is Craig Zobel?
So done? He directed all of the Mayor of Easttown episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, the same guy. Okay, yep. Great.
This was the job. That was literally the thing right after The Hunt.
He also
wrapped.
Directed some of Leftovers, Westworld, yeah. American Gods.
American Gods, Outcast is amazing. No one ever saw Outcast, but it's very good. Yeah, so he's got a,
he's got a good pedigree for
a lot of
genre
stuff.
All this stuff is on HBO, Leftovers, Westworld, yeah, Mayor of Easttown.
Seems like he's good. Well, anyway, all right.
There you go.
I think I wanted to see this anyway and then forgot about it. So
yeah, it just in the last week landed on HBO Max, and Tina and I knew that it was something we've had on our list for a while that we wanted to see. So so it's called The Hunt. It's on HBO Max, and that is all. I almost feel like I've told you too much about it, but I got to tell you something.
Okay, so, fair enough. Tell me about number two here.
Number two is a series, a relatively new series. And, I'll give you a little bit of setup. The people you're hearing in this clip are arguing over, the production of a play where chairs have gotten moved and, a woman named Bernice continues to handle all of the fruit on the craft table. And she won't stop touching all the fruit on the craft table. Ew. Okay, there okay. you go.
Fair enough. Here we go.
Did you switch those chairs?
Did I order the code red on Melveda? No, I did not.
Did you switch the chairs?
What do you want, Nicola? Do you want me to sleep with you again? Is that what you want?
Frank, I want the truth.
You can't handle the fruit, Bernie. How many times?
I think I need to go to hospital.
Well, f***ing go.
Unlock your switch.
You people. You have no idea how to protect a production. Melvina's accident, while tragic, probably saved lives.
Did you switch the chair?
I did the job I was hired to do.
Did you switch the chair?
Goddamn right I did. Frank, you piece of shit!
What is this? I don't know.
That last voice you hear is Domhnall Gleeson. The other voice you're hearing is his brother, Brian Gleeson. That is a new show called Frank of Ireland. And it is on Amazon Prime. It's a six episode, it's the first season of a six episode series. And it is really funny. There's six episodes and it's the story of this dude, Frank, who still lives at home. He's in his early 30s, still lives at home with his mother, Mary, and, she can't get rid of him. He's kind of pining over his ex-girlfriend, Anya. And his best friend is a guy named Doofus, and that's played by his brother, Domhnall Gleeson.
Doofus brother, Domhnall, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Brian who looks like his dad the most.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Wow. Like, I guess I never noticed, but Domhnall was like, oh, okay, I can sort of see the resemblance. Brian Gleeson looks like his dad.
Just looks like a reduced version of...
Is it Paul Gleeson?
Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan, that's it. Yeah, not Paul.
Yeah, and Brendan Gleeson actually does make an appearance in the series. So you get dad and two sons, none of which are playing characters that are related to each other.
Wow, that's great.
So this is cringe comedy at its finest. Like, this is if you like the British Office, less so the American Office. The American Office was good at it, but the British Office, I think, really nailed down the cringe comedy.
Oh, yeah.
This feels like it could have been produced by Ricky Gervais. Mm. Each episode kind of has this weird little... Yeah, they're all fans of pop culture, Frank and Doofus. So movies come up a lot, and inadvertently... movie parodies come up a lot on the show. So obviously that was like A Few Good Men. Mm-hmm. But there are other, like there are, nods to Misery and Memento and, Taxi Driver and things like that. He really did say fruit. You can't handle the fruit.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Because Bernie kept handling the fruit there. This thing has mixed reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but a couple of the critics, I think, nail it on the head where it is, cringe comedy with a lot of laughs, but you're kind of feeling bad for all these people, in Frank's life who have to deal with Frank. Cause Frank is, as Doofus said in that clip, a piece of shit.
All right.
But it is, and there's a really, really clever sixth episode that I won't say any more about, but you know, obviously you watch all six episodes. I think they're 30 minutes each. You get through them quick, but the sixth episode has a very clever, twist.
Man, you got me in the mood for Gleasons. I like all their stuff.
This gives you all of them. You get all the Gleasons.
It's every possible Gleason, right?
Yeah. It is every possible Gleason. Yeah.
That's great. All right. I'm in on this one. This sounds like my jam. All right. Number three.
And our own Claire Gack, her uncle, produced some of the music for it.
Oh,
so
that's
there
cool.
there is a little bit of a Tadpool connection.
Yeah, so the Undock Your Switch was appropriate.
Undock Your Switch.
That's fantastic. Yes. We love the Irish. Long may they live. All right. Moving on.
All right. This last one is a movie. Again, this is something that that I think Nicole would recommend. So this is kind of perfect that I'm playing this in her absence.
All right. Here you go.
Okay. I know we're not like close anymore.
True.
And I'm probably the last person that you want to help.
Accurate.
But you have a car.
Oh, there it is.
Trust me, if I could just go somewhere in town or to St. Louis even, I wouldn't even be here.
Where?
You know, to get the thing, the procedure.
Whoa.
Okay.
You printed a map.
Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico. It's easy. And I outlined the best route, including where we can stop for gas, food, and rest. It's all planned out. We'll be in Albuquerque by tomorrow night. We'll go to the clinic first thing Sunday morning, and we'll be home Sunday evening.
Albuquerque.
Yeah, yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but that is the closest place if you're under 18, so...
You thought, why not ask Bailey Butler to drive me hundreds of miles, because she probably doesn't have anything to do anyway.
Kind of, yes.
I have no idea.
This is a movie called Unpregnant. So if you're wondering what the procedure is...
Un or I'm? That? You say un?
Unpregnant, as in like the opposite of pregnant is unpregnant.
Got it. All right.
This is a road comedy, road buddy comedy, with some drama elements that follows these two teenage girls as they drive from Missouri to Albuquerque so that she can get an abortion. And because she can't get one in her home state without her parents' permission. So, boy, heavy topic to build a road comedy around, but it works.
It's often the best way to get your comedy is from hard stuff.
Kind of is, yeah. You've got Breckin Meyer, Giancarlo Esposito, who's always
is he
fantastic.
A bad guy in this? Is he a smarmy chicken lord? What is he?
It is good. If I'm going to tell you, he's in Albuquerque, believe it or not.
Oh. All right.
So that kind of set something up there.
Okay.
Let's see. What can I tell you about this? I mean, it's comedy. It's a good road comedy. What was the movie last year that Nicole and I loved? It starred the two women. It was they were in high school.
Oh. Not the show.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I wrote it down too. I forgot what it was, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Not undocumented. Like it was, I've got on the mind, but it also had Jason Sudeikis in it as another teacher.
Yeah.
And, it kind of follows their,
do we get like a Thelma and Louise, like cliff jumping ending to this or no?
I'm not gonna hide it. There is a little bit of a Thelma and Louise moment to this thing, but I'm not gonna say any more than that because it's referenced and it's really funny how it's referenced. Okay. So
they find a stinky Brad Pitt in a hotel room. No,
that's exactly right. That's exactly what happens. Yes.
I always felt like he stunk in that scene, and I don't know why. I just love Brad
because he looked all sweaty and gross.
Gross,
and,
man. Ugh, gross, Brad Pitt. Anyway.
So anyway, this kind of is along the same lines as things like Superbad, and you know, this would have been right at home in the 80s, 90s as one of those 10 Things I Hate About You. What was the Scarlet Letter one with Emma Stone?
Oh,
Easy A, that sort of thing. Kind of along those lines as the humor. Mm-hmm. Again, would have fit right in the 80s and 90s as a teen comedy, and works really well these days too. Obviously, there's new stuff that kind of comes into play with this. Mm-hmm. It's on HBO Max, and came out last September. And Tina had it on her list, said we need to watch this, or it was recommended that we watch this. We watched it, and we both laughed at it. Very funny stuff.
All right. I like that Haley Lou Richardson. I like her. I don't know that she's the main girl, right?
Oh, yeah. She's the main. Yes. She's the pregnant one. She was on Disney Shake It Up, Ravenswood. Yeah, what else was she on?
She's just stuff I just know. Every time I see her face and go, oh, yeah, she's good. She knows how to act.
Oh, she was in Split. Yes.
Oh, yeah, Split. And there's Barbie Ferreira. I don't know her, but. She seemed funny in the clip.
She's really, really funny. This what's her name? Haley Lou Richardson. Yeah. She's got a very, in this movie, she's got a very Elizabeth Shue meets Kristen Wiig vibe to her.
Yes, that is totally the vibe I'm getting from her.
And she and her delivery in this thing is right up that alley. It's good. It's really cute.
Good for these.
I think
ladies.
You and Kim watching it together probably would get a kick out of it. It's very good.
Seems like something I would have no problem talking Kim into watching. So I think we will.
Oh, Mary McCormick. Yeah, tell her Tina recommended it to her.
Okay, I will do it.
Again, the movie is called Unpregnant, and it's also on HBO Max.
All right,
Gus Fring is in it. I started with that. I led with that.
Yeah, he led with Gus Fring, and then we talked about him being a chicken lord, and then you forgot about all of it, so I can put the on-air light up for our listener today.
Right, put the on-air light up for I-Core specifically.
That's for I-Core. Okay, here's mine. We're down to one. This is all I got is one. I only had time for one, and it's actually a rewatch for me, but I've never recommended it on the show before. And it's all kind of timely because the subject of this came up recently, or the person involved, and you'll probably get it when you hear it. So it's a documentary. Enjoy. Netflix, here we go.
Let me put up this next memo.
You want me to read this?
Yes, please.
February 4th, 2004. Subject, what you know. There are known knowns. There are known unknowns. There are unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. That is to say, things that you think you know that it turns out you did not.
Okay. Guesses, thoughts, feelings?
God, I've seen this. I'm pretty sure I've seen this because the script sounds very familiar, but is this a Fargo season?
Negative. So it's a documentary.
Okay.
And it's an Errol Morris film. You may know him from The Thin Blue Line and I forgot the McNamara documentary. I forgot the name of it, which this is kind of based on that. This is almost like a sequel to that. But this movie is called The Unknown Known. And it came out in 2013, and it is a big, long interview and deep dive into Donald Rumsfeld and his role in the Iraq War.
Oh, okay.
And kind of post 9/11 stuff and all that.
Maybe I haven't seen this then,
huh? It's very, 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 very good. And the reason I like it is Errol Morris pulls no punches, first of all. That guy makes documentaries that really stick with you, and they're great. They're really hard-hitting stuff, amazing stuff. And he did this again with Robert McNamara, the Secretary of Defense for Nixon and Johnson. So Vietnam War, basically, he's around for that. And that whole documentary, I forgot the name of it, dang it, but that entire thing is basically Fog of War. That's it, making him justify the war. Like why did they make certain decisions that they did when they pulled out of the war, and what all that fallout meant when they got into the war to begin with, when they escalated things, problems on the ground, like weird decisions on the top. They played old tapes from the presidents of the time of them talking to McNamara, especially Johnson, trying to get out of that war, not sure what to do. It's really a fascinating thing. Well, this is the same sort of lens, but they just shifted up to the future. And now we're talking to Rumsfeld, who was Secretary of Defense under George W. Bush during 9/11 and the subsequent war with Iraq and then everything else that happened during that time and stuff that we're still dealing with now. It is not do any of this with white gloves. He is this is not a let's learn the history of a great man the administration. That's not what this is. So if anyone thinks that's what this is, it's absolutely not what you're getting. But what you do get is a fair-minded discussion from him trying to explain what they did and why they did it and when they did it. And you get to hear all the contradictions and you get to hear all of the – I mean, it turns out at the end of the day, Rumsfeld was like a really intelligent person, like really smart guy. Mm-hmm. But he started to see the world – at least my impression was that he starts to see the world in this very very black and white kind of way, like America's great and you're not, so we're going to make you better kind of attitude. And that's a problematic stance to have.
Yeah.
But he says a lot of things that make a bunch of sense. And then he says a lot of stuff that just plain doesn't make any sense. And he also doesn't remember saying some things he used to say. Like he basically during the documentary was like, you know what? I didn't know that you guys have us mixed up with the State Department. The State Department was all about the weapons of mass destruction. But from our perspective, we're just there to do whatever's next from the commander in chief. We are not interested in whether they existed or not. We're just following orders. But then they'd show like an old press conference where a reporter asked him about the weapons of mass destruction. And he goes off about how he's 100% sure they're there and why are we even asking this question. You know, he's complicit in that same what turned out to be bad intelligence, right? Like he was part of it, but he doesn't acknowledge that in the interview. So some of that stuff you have to pull out of him. It's just really well made and a chunk of history that's worth exploring. And I love stuff like this. Like what gives me peace in this world sometimes is documentaries that really dig deep. That aren't looking at rah-rah side or everything's terrible side, but just dig deep on what actually freaking is going on and really show it. And by the end of this thing, you have to ask yourself,
knowing what went on is far more important.
And you have to ask yourself, a guy like Rumsfeld, who doesn't need any of this, you have to ask, why would he even agree to an interview with Errol Morris, who is known for this kind of exposure style documentary where he doesn't pull punches, where he doesn't let you just say a thing and then not follow up. Like Errol Morris is known for this. And he did it with Fog of War, and Fog of War is almost the exact same kind of deconstruction of a late in life member of an administration who had a lot to do with wars and everything else. So he knows this going in, and there's this great thing. It doesn't spoil anything, but at the end, near the end of this documentary, Errol Morris asks him, because they get argumentative at times. You get Rumsfeld just kind of getting real defensive about certain things and all that. And they get to a point where Errol Morris says, I got one more question. Why did you agree to even do this? And Rumsfeld went, I don't know. He didn't know. Now, that's ironic because the whole time there's this overarching theme of the known unknowns and the unknown knowns and all this. Right. In the end, he doesn't even know why he's there.
Because his recent death kind of prompted you to say, oh, I kind of want to see that documentary.
As soon as he died, I went, oh, I love that doc. I see if I can find that. And immediately it was on Netflix. I'm like, oh, sweet. I'm going to watch this. Cool. I recommend it to everybody who has any passing interest in history, in good documentary filmmaking. If Errol Morris, you know, if he's an amazing, all his movies are good. But this is definitely one of those to see. So check it out. It's not, you know, there's going to be some people, and I see it in the chat already, there are going to be some people that just hate the idea of Rumsfeld or anyone involved with that war so badly that they're just going to outright dismiss it, F him, enjoy your time in hell. I understand that, and I get it. This documentary does not glorify Donald Rumsfeld. It is an opportunity to look at the facts as they were. And if that's not interesting to people, I get it. You don't need to watch it. Like, don't watch it probably. But if you've got a mind for, you know, understanding and critical thinking and that sort of thing, give it a shot. It's interesting. And my biggest takeaway is I don't know how any of these guys do this job. Like, I don't know why you'd ever take this job. Because at some point you're going to be in a position where you're going to probably have to toe the party line, the whatever line there is. And you're going to be responsible for pressing a button that to you doesn't seem like much, but on the other end of that button means massive loss of life, insane structural changes to a place that you don't live in. simple ideas in your head that seem good, but when you apply them to some other culture, they just don't work. Like, that job sucks. And I can't imagine any human being wanting to be Secretary of Defense or anything related to that, or president for that matter. I don't know why any of y'all want it. And this neither justifies Rumsfeld's position nor spends the whole movie demonizing it. It just lays it out.
Just here's the facts out.
Here's the timeline. Here's when it happened. Mm-hmm. Here's his answer to that question. Well, here's what he said in the thing. And it's not narrated, by the way. I love documentaries where they don't have to narrate it and explain everything to me. It's just once in a while you hear Errol Morris say a thing, but very rarely. Mm-hmm. And you hear Rumsfeld answering it or saying one of his memos over the top of some footage or whatever. The way this dude integrates that with music and tone is so cool. He's just a great documentarian. So anyway, worth your time. Go check it out. It is called The Unknown Known. 2013.
Nobody will have any problem remembering what that's called.
That's right. All right. That's cool. It for that those. Really cool. Yeah, it's really good. Thanks for listening to Recommendals, everybody. And Nicole won't be tweeting that probably because she can't hear it, but
all right.
She usually catch up and get it on some list. So
yeah, maybe I'll text her links and then she can just put it up on the feed when she gets a chance.
Brian, that's a fine idea.
Yeah.
I like.
Will I do it?
Idea. That's the bigger question.
But it's a fine idea.
It's a fine idea. Will he do it? Tune in tomorrow to find out. Yeah, all right.
Exactly. Yes.
That's it for the show. Big thanks to everybody for joining us and hanging out with us today. We really appreciate it. A reminder to all our good friends on the Patreon that we love you and we appreciate you. And without you, we don't exist. So if you want us to keep existing, head on over to patreon.com/TMS and throw a little bit of your monthly cash our way. $1 a month will get you all kinds of stuff that you can't get anywhere else. So head on over and check it out. Big thanks for your support. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. For everything else, check it out at frogpants.com/TMS. That's going to do it. Brian, we need to play a song. Do you have a song?
Yes, I do. And boy, this one's related to the California trip as well, because this one comes to us from Gary from Batu, from the Black Spire outpost out there in Batu. He says, "Hey, SNBI, somehow this year I let my birthday, July 12th, slip by without a song request. I've managed to ride this dirt clod around the local star 72 times in, as my doctor puts it, pretty good shape for my age," quote, unquote.
Nice.
"For some reason, I've had Bob Seger's Turn the Page going through my head recently. If you know of a good acoustic cover, it seems like a good birthday tribute. Anytime in the next week is fine. Maybe on the 17th, Disneyland's 66th birthday and Scott's 52nd, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
See you in Batu next month. Gary, the Evermore Senior Geek."
Oh, man. At least someone's keeping track. I don't want to think about my next birthday. But
yeah. No kidding. Thanks, Gary. Right. Gary. Gary got all of our dream jobs, I think, and is now working on the Millennium Falcon in Batu. Didn't even know this was a dream job that we all had until it became a dream, until it became a job, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How cool is that? So he wanted to hear a cover of Bob Seger's Turn the Page. I don't have an acoustic cover. I mean, the original is very acoustic, but this one actually is kind of moody and melodic, which I really, really like. This is a group called Endless Blue from their 2013 album Undercover with a version of Bob Seger's Turn the Page.
On a long, lonely highway, east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning his one long song. You can think about the man, the boy you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're flying 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like traveling. You just wish the trip was through.
but here I am on the road again. Well, here I am up on the stage. Well, here I go. I'm playing the star again. Well, there I go. You're shaking off the cold. You pretend it doesn't bother you, but you just want to explode. Sometimes you hear them talking, while other times you can't. All the same old cliché. Is that a woman or a man? And you always seem outnumbered, but you dare not make a stand.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I got a score tonight, man. I'm horny. You know what I mean? Horny.
Ooh. Oh.
Horny.
Horny.